a police thriller, which is also a survival thriller, which I did not expect coming in. Naruto movie, man. We're coming back. We're coming back here after our little time that we spent with Jojo George. That's the most exciting part about this movie, I think, because Jojo George's performance in Irata still lives in my head with how freaking great it was.
Unbelievable.
I think I want to start off talking about the man, you know, Jojo George. What did you think about him in this movie, along with the other cast members, and also just comparing a little bit to what we've seen before from Jojo?
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think, to start off with the obvious, this is a terrific performance by him, man. Like, he has such a strong presence on the screen. Like, he is, first of all, like a physically large dude. He is intimidating and then has a towering personality on top of it. Like, from the very first scene, you know this is not a guy you want to get on the wrong side of, because he kind of has a short fuse. There's a propensity to just be super violent. Yeah. The scene where one of these kids spit on the police wall and he just is having a bad day and he just loses it at them. He is a terrifying individual, and he's got the physical like prowess to kind of back that up. Kind of like in Irata, where he's like throwing people around in like a kitchen or something. Yeah. That was like, that's going to stay in my mind for a long time. But like, the supporting cast in this are all terrific, man. But every time he's on screen, his presence, his charisma just overwhelms everyone else and everything else that's going on the screen. I think, like, one of the really interesting aspects to this is he has got some terrific range in this film, because when you meet this guy at the start, I think his name is Manian, police officer, like, he's a bit of a despicable character, or you're a bit unimpressed by him, because, like, the first thing you see him doing is, like, frame a kid for, like, a crime, because it's, like, the daughter of a politician is involved, so he just goes in and, like, frames this innocent boy for a crime he didn't commit. And you're just like, oh my God, you've got this rookie cop with you, Praveen, or that character played by Praveen. Oh, is it Praveen is this character's name? Yeah. And he's like teaching him this is the way of the world. And so you start not having a very high regard for him. But as the film progresses, you see like the shades of his character, like his love for his daughter, his affection, his commitment to wanting to be there for his daughter's performance. He's trying to help the other guys who are on the run with him, the Praveen character and the Sunitha character. He's trying to teach them, although occasionally he loses patience with them. But just by the end of the film, like, what a tragic arc to his character, because you are fully on board with him. You want them to get through this. You want them to show their innocence, and you want him to be reunited with his daughter. But the arc that this character goes on, the more you kind of know about him, the more you learn, he becomes endearing. And then, like, his downfall is remarkably quick, right? Like, he's a really confident guy, then has to go in the run. He's frantic trying to get these guys out.
Yeah.
Then the stresses, starts drinking, and then what happens at the end, I guess, where he ends it all. Like, it all happens quickly, but it all makes sense in the flow of the character. And the way that Jojo George is able to portray that hard, fierce, strong character with that vulnerable side, just like, brilliant, man. Like, he makes this movie as good as everyone else is, and every other element of this film is superb. Without him and his strong presence and his character work, I don't think this film could have been as good as it was.
Yeah, no, I think he's probably the backbone of this movie. Like, he's like he sort of carries the movie at most times. Like, you know, I think both from a plot perspective and also a little bit from, just his overall presence and his, when all three of them together, it seems like he is sort of towering on top of all of them. Like, that's how much of a presence he sort of has. But yeah, you're right. He's so erratic, it feels like. Like, because I think in the first act of the first quarter, before, you know, it gets serious and they're sort of trying to escape.
Bill kicks off.
Yeah, when the sort of the survival stuff starts. He basically has moments where he's like, in one scene, he's basically like, he's really just like, you know, aggressive and angry towards everyone. Then he just switches it around. He's making jokes and he's having like a good time. Then he's showing he's endearing, and then he switch again and just be completely mean to everybody once again.
Unhinged,
it's crazy. He's like, just like, and you're right. Then it switches from like, all that to sort of showing much more the emotional side of things when he really reflects on his daughter. But he also has moments where he's just completely devastated and he's just silent and he's just drinking. And even when he does that, it's so convincing and so well done that he just carries this whole scene.
Yeah.
It's something about him is really impressive. And this movie was before Errata. So I think just from his growth point of view, I think he was a little bit more dynamic in Errata. Maybe it was just more screen time, to be honest. Because in that movie, he's almost there 100% of the time. Whereas in this movie, he does sort of share the spotlight with these other two actors who are also fantastic in their own sort of respects as well.
Yeah.
So we've got two, I think for you, two new faces. For me, one new face, really.
Yes.
Kunchaku Boban. I thought he was really good. Played a really, as a rookie cop, I think he really portrayed that really well. Like, he was really...
The naivety and the, like, not understanding how the world worked kind of way.
Yep, and sort of being, he was a bit like, it's like his father had a great reputation and living up to that, you could sort of tell that he doesn't really live up to that, but at the same time, he's very defensive of him, as we sort of see them tussle at times. But what do you think of these other two actors as well as sort of the other cast?
Yeah, I mean, the Praveen character, this Kunchaka Boban, I thought he was... He also was a bit of the heart of this film, because while the Joji George character, he's a bit of a slow burn to get on his side after a while, right? Because he's so erratic at the start, and then you learn more about him and his backstory and you sympathize. Whereas I think you're automatically on board with the Praveen character. You kind of see the world through his eyes as you understand this world a bit more, the corruption and how the police and the politicians are in bed, and you see how it all works. You're learning it with him. And I think he's not yet corrupted by all of that. So you kind of start this journey, and, like, obviously his fate, you know, he doesn't die, but his career is ruined, right? Like he learns really what this world is about and how you got to play the game. Otherwise you're going to, like, suffer the consequences. But I think he's a very endearing character as well, because he has some, like, very sweet moments in this, because he really feels like the glue trying to keep this trio together, because Joji George is, like, going off, like, having his own, like, crisis and drinking and being erratic. The Sunidha character, she's kind of, I think, initially just in a state of shock. Like, she walks out in front of a bus and almost gets killed. Like, she's just, like, failing to understand the situation for a while, and he's the one trying to keep them all together, try and be, like, nice to them. There's that beautiful scene where he goes and gets her, like, the sanitary pads without her even asking anything. And you're just like, okay, this is a really good, caring guy, not yet corrupted by all the things that, like, Georgie George has to feel. So, and he seems like a very thoughtful person. And you actually spend a lot of time just sitting with him. Like, there's when they're bathing in the river and stuff, there's just a scene of him just sitting there, just looking out. And you're just kind of sitting there with him, being like, how did it come to this sort of thing? So I think his naivety, he's, like, genuinely a good-hearted person. I think he is also an emotional core of this, because his arc, while not quite as tragic, like, nothing good happens for him by being a good guy at the end of this. Like, doing the right thing does not benefit anyone here. Doing the wrong thing even screws over the Georgie George character, who you think is the savvy guy, but the turtles turn on him too. So no one wins, but... I thought he did a terrific performance, man. He was vulnerable. You really were on side with him from the get-go.
No, definitely. I really enjoyed his performance as well. You're right. The points you bring up are really good. Like, he is really naive at times and trying to understand the world. And that's sort of, you know, they're all sort of tragic in their own sort of way. But his side of things, like, he's really contained at times as well, I feel. Like, especially towards the start. Like, he's not really speaking up against people. He's respectful towards other cops. Like, he's always saluting them, and then, like, you know, it basically backfires in his face at the start, and that sort of leads to sort of the that's sort of one of the reasons what sort of kicks off all the entire
fight, that's a good point. Yes.
Like, the one time he sort of
that's right
rebels, and then we get the starting of the whole scene that they fall into. But I think I'd seen Namisha in another movie, which I think she was a little bit had more of a role to play in this. I felt like she was good, but she definitely was third character, I think, in the hierarchy.
Yeah, 100%.
But I think probably the standout scene was the one you mentioned, when she's sort of in front of the truck and she's just shaken. That scene was so good, because it sort of showed how different people are dealing with this trauma, you know? So, like,
100%, yes.
Joju or Manian and Praveen are basically just, you know, fighting. Like, that's how they're basically, you know, expressing their anger. And she's just internalizing
it. Yes.
So much that she's basically gone into shock. So it was pretty good. And obviously great chemistry between the three of them. on the journey together, because it was that, just, I think, them, right? That's all. They had the whole, the story was
just about them. It was just about them. And even her is maybe the third most important character in this. She still gets her own story, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, you understand the pressures that are on her. There's something about the construction of her house and, like, people, like, harassing her about that. But also, like, while she's shocked and, like, shaken at the start of the film, by the end, she's actually, like, quite a strong character, because she's the first one, you know, when the guy, police guy says, sign this statement that says Joju George killed himself in the cell. She's the one who says, no, I won't do that. It's not Praveen, it's her.
That's true.
And so she's obviously gone on a bit of a journey and become, like, for better or worse, she stands up for what she thinks is right. And so she does go on a bit of a journey herself to, like, express her thoughts a bit more and say what she feels and stand by her principles. So I was shocked it was her that was the one who said,
yeah, it's true,
I'm not signing that and I'm willing to face the consequences, not Praveen. So, yeah, even her, great story. Yeah. And, yeah, she was, again, a terrific addition to this
cast. No, definitely. I really enjoyed her performance. Enjoyed all the performances. It was really they're all sort of, yeah, that's a great point you bring up, like, you know, like, about integrity, basically, right? That's what the end part really is like, you know?
Yes.
What are you willing to sacrifice? And yeah, totally. The end of, I mean, this movie is a tragedy and it really gets dark at times, and we'll sort of come into that more when we're talking about the plot. But before we do that though, man, I really want to talk a little bit about sort of, because, man, I'm starting to get pretty blown away by how well done these movies are from a production point of view. Like, when I was watching this movie, especially, we have not seen a thriller. We've seen lots of thrillers. We have not seen a survival thriller like this, but the way they shot some of these scenes, I mean, I can't even compare it to Hollywood anymore. Like, I think that used to be, are they gonna lack in terms of Hollywood production with the cinematography, with the quality?
Yeah, because that's the gold standard.
That's right, that's the gold standard. So that's what everyone's trying to get to. But man, in terms of the score, in terms of how they shot the camera angles, in terms of the performances, in terms of the cinematography, that some of the scenes when they're sort of like trying to escape early on, like the music that's just, you know, pulsating, and they just, you know, Joju George grabs the guy and locks him out quickly. It's just such like, you just go into that flow straight away, and it's so well done through the production.
Seamlessly done.
I was so impressed by it, man. But what do you think about how the movie was shot? And do you agree with the whole Hollywood comparison anymore? Because for me, it doesn't even make a difference anymore.
No. I think all of the, and this is a perfect example of a film where just every element of the film is just extremely, like, flawlessly done, right? Like, together it's a great film, but if you dissect the individual parts, the acting, the story, the production, the cinematography, music, there's no drop-off in quality. They're all just uniformly excellent across the board. And, yeah, I don't think Hollywood's a comparison. No. Yeah, I think they are just in their own level at this point, man. There are scenes in this movie that just stick out in my mind as well. Some of those nighttime scenes, so crisp, so beautiful. Yeah. Some of those scenes in the nighttime, as well as daylight when they're on, like, the cannabis farm. Yes, is that what it is? Like, it's a beautiful visual, man. Like, it's, they go through so many different scenery in this film. Like, they're in a bustling city, they're in the forest at nighttime, they're in a small village, they're talking to a tea shop owner early in the morning in a bustling city. And, like, you're not there for long, but you get a strong sense of what the environment is just because there's a beautiful shot that sets it up, or there's just, you know, you linger on a cafe a bit longer than you usually would. And within that time, you get a strong sense of what that location is. Like, just every shot here, I feel nothing is unnecessary. Everything is, like, thought through perfectly. And yeah, man, I think the music was another element of this. Because at the end of the day, like, there are some intense scenes, but there's no, like, big blow-up scenes, right? No big action sequences, no, like,
that's a good point.
You know, even like what happens to Joju George happens off screen, right? You never see it. All you see is, like, the body and stuff. So despite the fact none of that happens, the music works perfectly to create that sense of tension the whole time. It's a taut film. It doesn't overstay its welcome. 2 hours.
Perfect.
No, nothing, no fluff there. And the music just adds to kind of the emotions, the, like, fast beats sometimes, holding on a beat for an additional second or two to build up suspense. Like, it's just a flawless accompaniment to this film. And it just shows you don't need to do a whole lot of fancy visuals. You don't need big action sequences. You can still capture the audience's attention if you can put all of these pieces together nicely. Yeah, look, amazing. No, exactly. Man. I stop even paying attention to this because it's just always about
Yeah, it's standard. Really impressive. And again, of course, no CGI or anything like that. Like, these guys, like, mastered the art of basically just creating movies with what, you know, with what you have, basically. Not saying that they can't do anything with CGI, why use it? Like, Hollywood seems to have an obsession with using it. I think it's getting a little bit better now after the after seeing so many movies come out with so much CGI. But, like, why? When you can do this kind of thing where it feels so real and so raw, like, you feel like you're with them.
Yes.
Like, at times. That's how well it's done.
That's
like,
right.
When you're in the room with them trying to escape. So many, like, they shot, as you said, sort of a lot of times in the nighttime. That low light cinematography, it's not that easy to capture because, you know, you're battling with, like, the darkness. So how do you get such a beautiful imagery? And, you know, like, where they have the fireside and they're by at the farmhouse or whatever it is, or, like, they're escaping through the river, I think it is, and you just see, like, the silhouettes as they walk across. Beautiful shots, and they're just, it's just like, it's just, they know what they're doing in terms of how to create an image using negative space and using, obviously, darkness to your advantage and things like that. So,
it's not something you would expect in a thriller film or a survival film, right? You don't go in expecting beautiful cinematography. You just want, like, an interesting plot. And yet they're able to make it a beautiful film as well as get the thriller elements right as well. So,
yeah.
Amazing.
It is different because, like, a lot of, like, other, like, sort of survival thrillers that we've seen is, like, something like, you know, like a predator or like a prey, like somebody is attacking you, or some animal or some creature or some being or something like that is after you. But in this case, it's not really the case. Like, yes, the cops are after them, but the cops are not, like, a demeaning figure. Like, they're just, like, people, like, you know. They're ordinary people, and there's a big force of them. And they've got to be clever about how to get through them, but they're not, it's not like, you know, they're not really scared of dying. They're scared of basically being caught and how they sort of maneuver through that. I thought it was fantastic. So, yeah, man, I think this movie is probably the movie that I'm going to stick, that sticks out to me to be like, yeah, this is production level. Like, you know, there's no more doubts in my head that these guys just nail it on the head time and time again. And it's not even a thought anymore.
As good as anyone.
Like, it's not even, the standards aren't even Hollywood. The standards aren't anyone. They are the standard, if anything, at this point.
Like, that's right.
Other film industries.
And I don't know how many films.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't know how many films this director has made. He did Errata as well, I think you mentioned earlier. But, like, you know, this is the kind of precision and, like, attention to detail you'd expect from, like, a really experienced filmmaker.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how experienced he is, but if this is one of his fewer, like, not if he hasn't got a huge track record and he's producing this stuff, that blows my mind.
Yeah, he's, like, I don't think he's done too much. Just looking at the cast now, funnily enough, I just reviewed another movie of his that's coming out. Yeah, it's coming out this weekend. It's a complete opposite. It's like a feel good, like coming of age kind of movie. So he definitely has pretty good chops. He can sort of get around quite a bit. But no, his name Martin Prakat. So. Pretty impressive. Actually, he wasn't the director of Errata. He was a writer or something like that. He's not the director or writer. It's just, I don't know. Maybe the link was just through Jojo George, I guess, and being a cop and some of the similar
characteristics there.
Man, let's get on to the movie a little bit because, this movie was, as I said, I didn't expect a survival thriller, but I was all in for this ride, man. Like, geez, man. Like, it was pretty cool. I want to start off with sort of the first little bit, like, you know, that first quarter, I would say, because we don't spend too much time, but obviously, you know, they make the most out of it by introducing us all the characters and some pretty cool scenes.
And
setting up basically the premise of this movie, which itself is pretty unfortunate if you take it back all the way from the start. You know, these three cops basically have been caught in this situation where they haven't done anything wrong technically, but due to the circumstances that they're in, and dealing with the wrong people in this political case.
In the midst of an election cycle.
Midst of an election cycle. Trying to get the vote for the cast, I think, the Dalit cast, I think they're trying to get that.
Yes.
So I thought that was really well done in how they sort of executed that because it does sort of build up slowly and slowly and slowly. Like we get to see traits of Georgie George, as you said. We get to see traits of Praveen and Sunita as well, and sort of see sort of, you know, what sort of makes them tick and what situations they're in. But what do you think about sort of the setup of this movie before we get into the second act, which is basically survival?
Man, I thought it was such a beautifully set up film because I think you understood all of the elements that were going to play a part in the second half of this film very early on, right? I think you understood the Joji George character, his affection for his daughter, but also some of the erraticness, his understanding of the corruption and all of that and how it makes the world go round, basically. But I think one of the great elements of this film is that aside from when the fleeing from authorities starts, it's not just that each of them wants to prove their innocence or doesn't want to get caught. Each of them has their own personal reason for wanting to get back home.
Yeah.
Georgie George wants to attend the performance of his daughter, and you can see how much he dotes on her, shows her off to other people as like a tremendous dancer. The Praveen character, I think his mother needs to go to the hospital the next day to get some urgent treatment for some illness. So you immediately identify the stakes and why he wants to prove his innocence and get back to his family. The Sunita character, there's something happening with the rebuilding of her home or renovations of her home, and she wants to get back and be with her mum to support her through that. So the stakes are set up. The individual character dynamics are set up. And I think that whole caste thing with the Dalit community, like that is established very quickly in a short amount of time, the antagonistic character. And that guy sticks out in my mind.
I was going to say,
He's just like that dude's face, his anger, like he's ready. Like if you think the Joji George is ready to snap, that guy's also ready to snap, just not as physically imposing.
And the
you get to understand.
The arrogance he has too, right? Like he's so arrogant and so, he has so much conviction.
That's it. And there must be something super like that cast or that community has obviously been looked down upon for a long time. And now they have some sort of political power.
Yeah.
And basically, like everything that then happens to frame Joji George and the trio for the crime is because the politicians want to get the votes of the Dalit community, I guess. And so their power and influence is established early. And this guy is the representation of that community. He doesn't want to be downtrodden, treated like crap, maybe because that's how they were previously treated. They've just come into a position of power and they're now going to kind of get their revenge or like not put up with anyone looking at them the wrong way, basically. So all of those dynamics set up beautifully. And even just like the corruption at the very start where Joji George goes and like sets fighters at place, it's done so casually, man. Like it just feels like part of the story until you sit back and go like, what the hell just happened there? But it's just done so matter-of-factly. And so all of these processes and the world they're in and the kind of communities they're within and the politics that surround them set up so well at the start, man. Like, it just allows you to move into the thriller, suspense, survival stuff in the second half, having perfect understanding of the situation. So able to establish that so quickly, so well, like, amazing.
No, I was pretty impressed by it. They do a great job of establishing tension at the right time, you know?
Yeah.
Because like it sort of has its beats, right? It's not consistent. There's a scene here or there. And there's times when it's like, you know, the big fight at the sort of the police station. And that scene itself is so well done, I think. Because it's just like it builds up, right? Like he's antagonizing Joji George. And again, this guy is basically like showing him up, being like, what are you going to do about it? And it's just such a great contrast because you look at him and he's, you know, he's the opposite of what Joji George is like physically. Like he's, you know, Joji George is a menacing presence in a police uniform. And he's like, I don't give a crap. Like I'm not going to bow down to you.
This guy is ready for it.
And then it just sort of intensifies with, what's it called? Praveen's character essentially having, not being able to get leave. And he's, you know, stands up for himself at that time and says, you know, whatever, like, you know, I'm going to take medical leave. You can't stop me from taking my mother to go to hospital. and then I think the phone flips out and then it just becomes like a full blown action scene. Like, you know, throwing bodies and Joji George is releasing his anger, basically, taking it back on before.
Points a gun at him.
It does everything, man. It's just such a well done scene as you get a cameraman shooting everything on a camera with his phone. So again, pretty entertaining first half, man. Like it's good. You're really into this movie almost straight away because like you're like, whoa, all right, this is intense. Then it sort of gets down for a second, right? We sort of go down for a while. It's like, no, that's not going to continue anymore. The way it comes back up is kind of interesting. Like, you know, because there's like a small scene where they're at the wedding, I think. And it seems like everything's fine now. Like, you know, they're having nice conversations with each other in the in the truck, I think, whatever it is. And then basically like talking about marriage and how marriage is good. And how, again, Georgie Joyce is showing off his jovial side more after having a few drinks.
Fatherly side.
But then essentially it all just flips through basically a freak accident, which they are not even responsible for. And that's sort of when things really, really start to escalate and get really bad for them, man. Like it's
kick off.
I mean, it's tragic how this all sets up. It's really bad.
it really is. And I was just reflecting on the fact that how they deal with the motorcyclist who's part of, I think, the Dalit community and who was there for the fights that happened earlier, how they deal with that is a representation of like the different values of people. Like Praveen's the guy who says we need to take him to the hospital. And Joji George is like, nothing good will come of this. Leave him here. Otherwise, something is going to go very wrong with this. But Praveen's like, no, we need to take him to the hospital. And so they do. And that's where it kicks off because the other guys are there. They see that their friend has died and that these guys are responsible. And that's what sparks the whole thing. Jeez. And so it's almost like Georgie George, and that guy dies on the way to the hospital. So it's not even worth it. And so Georgie George's character, he's not a moral person, but if they had just followed his advice, everyone would have been better off because it's not their fault for what happened. And it was an interesting kind of the naivety versus the worldliness of Joji George at that moment. If they had just done, because Joji George knew how this was going to go, and Praveen was like, no, we need to do the right thing. So I thought that was just a really great contrast of the rookie cop trying to be like all valiant and show integrity versus the older, more experienced cop is like, I know where this is going to go. So I thought that was even just a beautiful contrast.
No, it's really, looking back on it, all the signs are right there. Like everything can be captured from that moment, right when they try and take him. Because, that theme carries on throughout the entire movie, right? Like at the end, basically, Joji George was right the whole time. Like nothing good can come out of this and nothing does. It's worse beyond anything we could even imagine, actually. Towards the end, but how they're just the political games behind this movie as well, like just the whole thing about how we want to get these cops suspended, let's do it even worse now, and like it's just like the whole way the whole city just catches on fire without even evidence that they've done anything, how powerful the media is 100%. To just basically frame them because they were against
that's
the CM.
Right, because exactly, and so like corruption is obviously one of the key themes in this, or the things that like come back to repeatedly in this film, and that the police are just an instrument of the politicians, that they're not there. I'm sure they do investigate crimes and stuff, but basically the police are beholden to the ministers and like they're just doing what the ministers ask them to do. And I think Joji George has this line where he says like, oh, even goons can like choose not to accept orders, but we have to. And like he's kind of telling that to the Praveen character, and you're like, ah, oh, that shows kind of the tricky world they're in. And even Joji George, who has played by these rules and understands the way it goes, even he gets screwed at the end because the tables get turned on him. And he's a guy who's been operating within this system and serving the ministers as they've asked for a long time, and there's no loyalty there. That is, as soon as you become expendable to get the vote of this community, we are going to hang you out to drive. And as you said, everyone's got their own agenda here. The politicians, they want to get the votes of the Dalit community, so they're wanting to capture these people quickly. The higher-ups in the police department, they don't want to get fired by the police minister, so they're willing to do whatever it takes to end this case as quickly as possible before the election. And then the media, like for ratings or whatever, or maybe they have a vested interest in the outcome, but they're playing constantly, the pictures of Joji George and the three potential criminals showing all the riots constantly. They are, they're profiting from this as well. So it's just like this insidious cycle of just corruption and selfishness. And I think one of the things in this movie is it's there from the start. Like no one's trying to hide these connections and corruption. It's just treated matter-of-factly. And, if this is a true reflection of what India is like, that is so concerning, man, because how do you even fight that system when every arm of it is corrupt, right? Like that, no one person can take this system down, and that's the tragedy of it, I think. So
No, the movie does a really good job of showing like the whole system and how it operates, right? Like it's, this isn't individual parts basically just going off the rails. It's, you know, one thing influences the other.
It's
so
an acting
in concept. Yeah, you're right. It all starts sort of from the top, like, you know, the Dalit, or not from the top, I guess. That's even more interesting because like it all strikes because of this, the smaller community, the Dalits are basically
marginalized
and they want to take revenge. And through that, they have to give some promises to this chief minister who wants, you know, who then says, you know, you get my word if you put these guys, arrest these three guys, suspend them. Turns out to be even worse than that, that they end up basically, you know, getting them, sentenced to jail, I guess, at the end, two of them, and then one of them takes his life. So it's really is a dark tale about how, you know, the whole, there definitely is, while it's a survival thriller, and you would think that doesn't have so much overall themes about sort of society and stuff like that, it actually has huge, it's a huge commentary on basically how things are basically in India and other basically corrupt countries that have this sort of issue. So it's, I just thought it was really, the mind games that are there are just like a second layer on top of the already incredible journey that we're going on with these characters. It's like at the, you know, the aside from the top where you're just viewing everything from the experience point of view, the second one, deeper level, is where you're actually like, all right, thinking about this and being like, wait, this is what this movie's trying to tell us. And it's actually pretty incredible what they're trying to tell us. So really impressed by it, man. There's a lot of stuff we can talk about, but I think I want to get into sort of this movie in terms of the actual thriller aspect of this thing, because I think from the point when they, I think the point that, when it all sort of starts to change is like when they're in the police, when they're in the police station and they're again trying to tell people like, look, this happened. Yes. And you have the head of the police officer, the branch leader or whoever he is, he's basically telling them like, don't worry, we'll figure things out, when we know at the end of the day, no, that's not what's going to happen. They're actually looking to frame these guys.
That's right.
For all of this.
Yes. But
yeah, man, from then on, it just picks up, man, and it is so exhilarating. But how did you find the whole side of things? Like just the experience of just, you know, the thriller aspect of it, because I thought it was riveting to just be on that journey with these guys and see how they're going to escape, the different routes they have to take, where they're going to end up, how each character individually deals with it. It's so fascinating. I thought it was really well done.
Yes. It was amazing, man. And I think what I really appreciate, like, first of all, it was extremely thrilling, as you're saying. Like, you're just on this journey with them. You want to figure out you want to see how they're getting out of every tricky situation. Like, when the police are approaching and they're in the back of the truck, how are they going to get out of that? Like, where are they going to go next once they get out of getting a lift from a friend and he needs to go back? Like, how they're solving each stage of the process is just so interesting, man. What I really love about this film, though, is, like, on top of all of that, is the realism at which this happens. Like, the trio who are trying to escape, they're not like geniuses.
Yeah, no.
They're just solving each mystery as it comes. They're not thinking of brilliant solutions. I feel like in other survival movies, like, the main character comes up with some insane plan that goes perfectly, and you're like, no ordinary person would think of that. Here, they're just, like, very sensible. They hitch a ride from a friend. Yep. Who's owes them a favor. And then they go in the back, they go to a small village where hopefully no one knows what's going on and they can blend in. They go and then stay with an old friend of the Joju George character. All of these, no brilliant plans. This is probably the kind of stuff you and I would try and do if we were in this situation. So I just like appreciated the realism with which they were trying to work through these problems. And I just like, it was so interesting to see them solve each of these mysteries. And I think none of them are flawless in how they deal with each crisis as it arrives, right? Like, one of the biggest mistakes they make is when Praveen gets that tea guy to hand over his phone so Sunitha can call her mum's neighbor. You're like, rookie mistake. If Joju George's character was there, he would not allow that to happen. But, you know, she's concerned about her old mother. She wants her to know that they're doing okay, but... like, and that's a mistake you and I might make, right? Telling someone that we're fine, our wives, parents, whatever. And so just the realism with which these is filmed, like, I really appreciated that, man. Like, this was kind of the most real kind of survival thriller I've seen, where these are just ordinary people thrown into an extraordinary situation and they're just dealing with it, like, with whatever wits they have about them, and they make mistakes and they're not perfect. So I really appreciated that part of this film, man. And from start to end, just absolutely thrilling. And I think what they do really well in this film as well is just, it's while it's intense the whole time, there's still moments where just nothing is happening.
It's true.
Like they might be sipping tea in a cafe, right? And you're just like, why are we watching this? Or one of them is just smoking on a cigarette. They're having a bath or something. Just like a moment to like sit and appreciate the intensity of what's going on. Or just to, I don't know, appreciate the smaller joys in life, you know, like when you're super stressed out, maybe a cup of tea is what you need and you like no longer take it for granted. I just thought some of those small moments within the tension also just kind of added so much humanity and depth to this film as well, dude. So that second half was near flawless.
No, I mean, yeah, I really enjoyed the second half a lot, man. And yeah, you're exactly right about sort of, I do like how they sort of dipped every now and then for just a small scene. Otherwise, if you have that kind of tension the whole way through, I don't know how you can sustain it without just sort of tapping out at one point. And it's hard to get those peaks and troughs if you don't have those moments when Jojo George's character, you know, Manian, is just talking to his old friend about, you know, what's happening. Or even the country, the townsfolk are talking about the festival that's happening. Other thing I really liked about this is they sort of add on some layers into this movie because they sort of bring on the other constable or the other cop. The higher up.
Ah, yes, I forgot
like,
about her.
They sort of bring up sort of what she has at stake as well now, and like what's, you know, how they're going to handle the situation. And so that was also another nice little piece. Of course, the family's also involved now. To just see the devastation that's happening all around everyone involved with this case, everyone's families. There's small scenes like I think they take the two mothers into the police station, and we just see them both like devastated. Yes.
Sitting next to each other.
Scene that you might not even need, but it's important to just show you the overall impact. And it's so well done. You don't need exposition. It's not a montage. It's not, there's no song playing in the background. A short 3-minute scene, and you've captured so much in that.
Yes.
Fantastic. Which will just go over the head, which most people will just think, okay, whatever, but it's actually adding so much into this movie.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's just like there's things happening on all levels, the TV happening at all times, so they're always under pressure. There's sort of disguise that they have going on with the new look with the headscarves and all that stuff. And of course, again, the tension between the characters itself, like with Jojo George's erratic nature, is actually kind of being, you know, a tension point between these three, because the other two characters, Praveen and Sunita, are both pretty, you know, they're devastated by what's going on and they can't get over it. And Praveen's the one that sort of tries to lift the spirits up, but Joju is mostly the one that's, as Manian, is the one that's sort of the most, like he's the most decisive, I guess. He's the one that can sort of, you know, make things rumble too much because of just his behavior.
But
he's the most important because he has the most experience and like he has the ideas.
Without him, they would be
exactly
lost.
Right. Without him, they'd have no idea. But like again, he's always blaming Sunita. Like we wouldn't be in here because of you. he's repeatedly says that. Like, you know, we wouldn't be here because of you. I'm here because of you. Like we get it, dude. Like this isn't a good situation.
let's just try and work together. So, yeah, that's right, man.
Your rivalry says force, man. It is really well done. I think all the way until like even the climax scene, and I do want to touch on that sort of towards the end, man, because it's just talking about upping the stakes, man. Holy shit. I think the end of this movie is one that really left me quite a little bit distressed and quite, you know, punched in the gut. Because while other movies like Errata leave you with like such a big shock, like, you know, like what has this character done? This movie almost just makes you feel like grief and or like despair with society because of what's happened here.
That's it. It's a broader like sense of distress about you're right.
I mean, the games the politicians play, and I was really fascinated to see what they're going to do here, because it was like, you know, the way they got them, like, you know, they shot themselves in the foot, whatever you say. Like, you know, they basically tell the CM tells
brought in three fake people,
and one of them's not there anymore. Yeah. So how are you going to solve this issue? But like, there's no laughing matter, man. Holy shit, the way they solve this issue is it's despicable, man. Like it's so bad. But what did you think about the climax and also just the you know, that whole game that they were playing?
I mean, I did not see the Jojo George character ending his life like that. I thought he would put up a fight. Maybe he would I don't know, take some cops out in like a final blaze of glory or something and not be taken into custody. But for him to go out like that felt so meek for a man who's so strong. But it also just shows that he understood that there's no beating this system. Yeah. Like he knew that his fate was basically sealed. He did the kind of confession on the phone and stuff, but I knew that wasn't going to go far because as soon as the police got their hands on that, that was like game over basically. So it was such a tragic end to a guy who was so, had so much to live for and was a powerful, strong man. For him to end that way, there was something that just didn't feel right about that. Like he was the heart of this film, and yeah, for him to go in such a meek way, like, was very distressing. And then the way they framed, or the way they tried to make Praveen and Sunitha be complicit in that by saying that he actually died at the police station, that scene where that cop is across the table from them and you just see the entire, it's framed perfectly. He's on one side, they're on the other. There's just two glasses of water and you're just watching the conversation. There's nothing else going on, no fancy camera work or anything. It is just the cold, hard reality of their situation is finally coming to like fruition. All the things that the Joji George character tell them would happen, the machinery they're up against just is there. And it's not kind of, you know, big politicians coming in there yelling at them. It's just done in a matter-of-fact way. A guy just says, hey, guys, this phone thing, this confession, no one will ever see it. I'm going to delete it. Here's your confession. Sign it or otherwise you're going to prison. There's no, like, no one's yelling at each other. It's just, this is the way of the world. And you just feel like no one can stop this system. Like, two good people stand. And that's the distressing part. And maybe that's what you're feeling, because how do you as a society fight against something so ingrained, so, like, institutionalized? Yeah. Like, two good people, they can't bring this down. No. And so this, you're left with a greater sense of despair than maybe the Errata film. And I thought one of the great moments was when the female police cop who was chasing them, she's there in the background of that scene and she's watching it unfold. And you know it doesn't sit right with her. Like, she knows that these people didn't commit the crime and she's just watching it and they've told her this is the way it is. And she just, like, she's disapproving of what's happening, of them being framed, but she doesn't speak up and you're like, ah. Another person who's brought into the system. But also, what else would you do if you were her? Because you've just seen firsthand what happens to people who try to expose the truth.
No, man, I think...
So it was shattering.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I think they hinted at that before, because like when the lady cop, I can't find her name or really any indication.
I think it's like... Yeah.
She is. But essentially, like, because they hinted at the start when they... She comes into the start, she basically says something like... you know, like, what are they in for? And then, like, you know, there's just something along the lines of, like, why did you book them for if they didn't commit it or something like that, commit the crime? Something along those lines. She says something like that, essentially. And then, yeah, you always have the sense of, like, she's like, are you going to help them out at any stage? Like, is that, I was hoping for that to happen at the end somewhere. But again, that's probably just, you know, this movie's not going to give in to that. It's cold, hard facts.
This,
you know?
Is not a Hollywood
ending. No, exactly. This is not a Hollywood fairy tale. Ending, man. We know the Mully Allen film industry is not scared to just serve us a cold, the, you know, cold truth, unfortunately. But I want to talk a little bit about, again, the performances. That scene that you mentioned with Joji George when he's hanging, man. Jeez, man. Kunchaku and both Namisha, far out. Like, you know, they are solid in this final act, man. Like, because you see, like, they're running, they're chasing, and they're chasing, they're trying to find, you know, I think they're trying to find, Manian, basically.
Him.
And basically, you know, because he's saying, sir, as he's sort of running. When he finds him at the end and he's just, you know, he just grabs him and just screams. It's such a, and you see Namisha on the end and she just sees and just freezes and just screams. And it's like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Because like they've got, it's weird because like, you know, they've really symbolized like, if you're in the survival thing together, how close you become, you know, like they didn't have a huge relationship before then. They weren't friends. I think Praveen liked Sunitha, but it didn't go further than that or anything like that. So there was some relationship, but not that much, but they've gone so fond of each other over a day, basically, of trying to survive. Cause they know that like, this is not the way they didn't want this to happen to any of them. So I just thought that end scene itself, you're right, it was nothing flashy. Like, I think a Hollywood film would have done something like Joji George come and kick down some people and, you know, point his gun toward people and then, have a big action scene, which he's more than capable of doing, as we've seen. But they definitely didn't want to do that because it just didn't sit. It's not the way it would have happened. Like, you know, that was really well done. But I think the part that really haunts me is definitely the stuff that you mentioned is like the despair you have, but like the extent that the police and the political system will go to, they transport his dead body with like the lungi or whatever it is tied along his throat. They take him to the police station and they have the forensic people come in and they have his, they're like positioning him in a way that his body,
they hang him again.
I was like, this is disgusting. This is really,
it's brutal.
This is like worse than death. Like what you're doing right now. You're basically
humiliating.
You know, you say that you're having any last wishes. They basically, that cop broke his last wish by snapping the memory card. And then they're just doing this thing where they're telling his family, like, look, your father was a criminal and he did this. So it's just like, man, so brutal. And even the...
It's just complete.
Even the last scene, man, at the end when we just sort of have, obviously, you know, again, all credit to this movie for just staying in character, because I think as an audience, we hope and we, in a way, we want them to take it. Like, why not? What's the harm now? Like, he's dead. You know, why don't you just take the plea? Why don't you take the deal
and you can get on with your life?
But they aren't like that, as they've shown us, right? Both characters, Praveen and Sunita, have been of integrity. So they're not going to give into that no matter what. So it's just that bus ride is like, you basically have to live with who you are in the system. And it's just like,
That's right.
Brutal, man. It is.
And that bus ride scene when they're in there, it like lasts for a bit longer than you think it would. So you're just like sitting there, like just letting this complete devastation wash over you, because no good people have any good things happening to them and the bad people profit, essentially. And maybe it's not that black and white, but the guys who are the most villainous here get what they want. And yeah, like it's solved before the election. So the chief minister is going to get reelected again, probably. Like the corruption has led to the right outcome for the politicians, and the people trying to do the right thing have been utterly defeated. There's no silver lining to their story, and you're just sitting there with them as the bus moves away.
Yeah.
And you're just, they're just looking out and they're like trying to understand their situation and how it came to this.
No.
Yeah. It doesn't let up, man.
It's
relenting.
Yeah, I think again with the Hollywood scene, like that's the kind of thing you would probably want to see at the end. Like, I mean, that's what I was kind of like. Like, is this something going to happen here? Like, are they going to get out? Are they going to have a phone call?
Yeah.
Is there going to be like a, is a cop going to call and get them out or something like that? Give some hope. No. I like, is this going to be open ending?
No.
This is not. The ending is they both go to jail. They both have to probably do life sentence. For something they never committed, for two innocent cops that basically were just on a ride from a wedding and got caught up in this mess.
So yes.
It's crushing, man. It is.
And it's crushing. And I think one of the guys who is actually driving the car that night, like, goes and tells the police, or he does a filmed confession saying it was actually them who did it. Like, even he stabs them in the back or something, I think. And so that's just like, oh man, like,
he says,
if anyone's going to be responsible, it's kind of you. And he gets the deal and puts them behind bars.
He further tarnishes the name. I think he says they're drunk. They were drunk at the time or something like that as well.
Yes.
It is a movie that honestly,
it is just an utter defeat.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think the only other movie that I think had such a dark ending like this was probably Mukundan Unni Associates, which was really sort of dark.
Yeah.
But because that had so much comedy in it, it didn't feel this way. This movie just feels like
it felt
like, it's
you're burdened by the reality.
Exactly right. It's there's no let up. There's no solace. There's nothing. It's just you're basically, this is the reality, and it's brutal.
It felt so real what was going on that I wondered, like, is this based on a true story or something? It's probably too like insane to be an actual true story, but I wonder, you know, how many people have been framed for a crime like this in India? How many instances of politicians directed police to like close a, you know, murder case for something that is just a politically convenient kind of outcome rather than what justice demands. And if even like a fraction of this is what the reality of Indian life is, or like life in Kerala, that is a burden, man. Because like, it's not like Australia or Western countries are perfect. No, there is corruption. But it's not expected. It's not like, I don't expect police to be corrupt. And if they are, then it's a surprise to people. It's not a matter of fact that I assume that police and politicians are working like this hand in hand to get to support one another.
Yeah.
I'm sure it happens, but it's not expected in here. It's just a matter of fact. Correct. This stuff happens. Don't try and fight the system because otherwise you're going to lose.
No, it's a really, really cynical sort of look, but look, it's, I'm just so impressed by how they're so gutsy to put together such a, you know, big budget kind of, you know, movie like this. And that's so dark that will be uncomfortable for a lot of people. I think these are not happy, feel good movies. Like, you know, so just to do a movie like this itself would be considered indie in like Hollywood. But this with, you know, people like George George and Kunchaku and, you know, this director as well, like they're big names. So it's not an uncommon thing for these guys to be doing. But yeah, man, I think we're both pretty high on this movie, man. But I want to get on to now sort of the D scale and see where this sits on your D scale, the man. Where do you give this? Where's this movie falling in your ratings?
Man, I think this is dynamite because I enjoyed this from start to end. There was no part of this that I was ever bored in. I was on the edge of my seat. And like every part of this film, as I was saying earlier, is just done flawlessly, right? From the music to the cinematography to the acting to the plot, the writing, all of that. Yep. So well done. There's no kind of huge twist or anything, but that's also the beauty of the movie because it feels real. It doesn't need big kind of explosions or action sequences to kind of get you hooked. It's real, it's gritty, and it doesn't shy away from the reality of the situation. Topped off with three great performances, man, with great chemistry between the cast. Like, you can't ask much more for a kind of thriller, survival thriller than this, right? No. Like, this is brilliantly executed.
No, I'm there on the same.
Couldn't recommend
I'm on the same boat as you, man. I probably couldn't give this one any higher because it's just too grim, unfortunately. Yes. Like, it's so well done and so well executed. But this one really, because I think it's just the fact that it's not an individual story. It's actually a commentary on society, you know? So I think I can start with movies.
It works on both levels.
It works on both levels. Right? Exactly right.
The individual tragedy, but also like the broader tragic outcome for
society. Exactly right. Yeah. So it really punches you in the gut multiple times. So it is a really hard one to stomach, I think, basically. But you don't feel that while watching this because it's just you're on the journey with these three
exciting,
sensational characters. So yeah, man, this is a very solid, like, you know, 8, 9 out of 10 kind of movie, I think. Really good. Definitely recommend it to
100%.
Anybody. Like, in terms of survival thrillers, this is the standard. Like, I can't... Survival thrillers are not really my kind of movie because they just... They seem like they're too one-dimensional. But again, trust in my young film industry to just break the whole thing apart and give us something that's so multi-layered and has so much going on and gives us a commentary.
That's right.
And it's not done in your face or anything like that. It's just brilliant. It's fantastic. Really well done.
Can't recommend this enough, man. Like, I think you can enjoy this as a pure action, a pure thriller, survival flick. You can also enjoy this broader commentary of it and what it has to say about society. So, like, terrific.
Definitely, man. No, but that'll do it for us, man. We'll wrap up. Thanks to anyone. Let us know what you guys thought about this movie in the comments. We'd love to know what people thought about this movie. Is this based off a real life story or something like that? Would be pretty interesting to know. Or based on true events or something like that. Because I know they do, many other movies do sometimes take references from things that have happened, but I'm not sure if this is the case in this one or not. Would love to know the people's thoughts about this. What do they think? And obviously, Sunny Man, this was, like always, great conversation for another sort of crime movie.
Loved it.
But yeah, we'll catch you pretty soon, man.
Looking forward to the next one, man.